This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Contractors cheered when Congress enacted limitations on the use of LPTA, lowest price technically acceptable contracts, by the Defense Department when buying professional services, and when DOD finally issued rules just a few weeks ago. But LPTA is not dead, as shown by a recent protest case. For details, we turn to procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. And so someone lost a protest against LPTA. Tell us what happened in this case, Joe.
Sure. Well, the question in this protest is whether the legal restrictions enacted by Congress in several National Defense Authorization Acts prohibit LPTA in this form. The question is this type of procurement an LPTA procurement? And that is a situation where the evaluation criteria had three factors: technical acceptability, past performance, and price. Technical acceptability, which was management approach and staffing and retention, was something that was evaluated on a pass-fail basis. Price, of course, was evaluated, and past performance was evaluated comparatively for recency, relevancy, and quality, typical past performance evaluation factors. So we had a situation where it was a pass-fail technical evaluation and a comparative price evaluation with a price past performance trade-off. And the issue is this an LPTA procurement or not? Because the procurement was by the Air Force to acquire IT services, and it fell into the category where LPTA can be used only, or has to be avoided, rather, to the maximum practicable extent. So the Air Force wants to use it and has to show either there are exigent circumstances that require its use for some reason, or else that it's, you know, that they're not doing LPTA.
And I guess the nature of the services comes into some play here, because this was for maintaining servers and multi-user systems. It wasn't exactly high-end work like developing artificial intelligence by the Inserso Corporation.
Well, I think that's right, but the Air Force, I believe, felt that this fell into the prohibition because they didn't make that argument. What they said was, and it was kind of an interesting argument, that the LPTA definition in the FAR said that you couldn't do a comparative evaluation of past performance. So because it didn't fall into the Federal Acquisition Regulation definition of an LPTA procurement, it wasn't one and therefore didn't come under the statutory prohibition. The protester in Inserso said, well, the definition in the FAR that the Air Force is relying upon was a definition of an LPTA process. The statute deals with restrictions on LPTA criteria, which is broader. You could have LPTA criteria in a process that maybe wasn't LPTA. And that was the debate that the Government Accountability Office had to resolve. GAO found that both interpretations of the statute were reasonable. It didn't find definitive guidance in either the language of the statute or the legislative history. So the way GAO resolved the dispute was by saying the statute did not, in its view, prohibit using a trade-off of price and past performance, and denied the protest.
And go back again over that issue of process versus procurement criteria, that there were two sides of LPTA.
Well, the issue is that the definition in the FAR describes a lowest price technically acceptable procurement process, and the argument made by the protester was that the statute is describing criteria, so you can't use LPTA criteria in a procurement even if there is a trade-off of price and past performance. But GAO did not buy that argument and instead said, we don't see anything in the statute that prohibits what the Air Force has done, so we're going to let them go ahead and do it.
We're speaking with Joseph Petrillo, a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. Now, did this all happen before DOD issued its final rules for LPTA? That was just a few weeks ago. And will those rules have any effect on what happens in the future?
That's a good question. The solicitation apparently came out before the rules were issued and effective, and the rules are just mentioned in a footnote in the decision. So it really goes more to the statutory language, I don't think there would have been a different result under the new DOD rules, because they hew very closely to the statute, and there's very little added in the regulations that wasn't in the statute. So we'd probably have the same result under those rules.
I guess what's confusing is the difference between procurement process and procurement criteria. That's what this case seems to hinge on.
Well, the process refers to the all of the criteria being used in a methodology that determines award. The issue of criteria really goes to the individual factors that make up the process. But in my view, I don't think that was really necessarily the determinative, or should have been the determinative factor here. I think if you look at the statute as a whole, Congress seemed to be concerned about situations where looking at a technical approach would really require little or no subjective judgment as to the desirability of one proposal versus a competing proposal. Here, you had technical acceptability factors that consisted of management approach and staffing and retention. And I think those, the judgments you would make about those are fairly subjective, judgmental, and probably not well suited for pass-fail evaluation factor. In addition, Congress was concerned about comprehensively and clearly describing minimum requirements in terms of performance objectives, measures, and standards used to determine whether a proposal is acceptable. And I don't think you can really do that very well for these types of criteria. So I think Congress really was concerned about a comparative evaluation of technical factors, technical proposals, and not just past performance.
But the GAO did rule that this one was okay, even though the criteria, the gating criteria, the pass-fail parts, were in fact subjective.
Right. The bottom line here is that in GAO's view, having a pass-fail evaluation of technical factors and a comparative evaluation of past performance is not an LPTA acquisition and does not come under the statute limiting those acquisitions.
Got it. So what should contractors be on the lookout for then in having their antenna up for LPTA?
Well, I think that if you have an acquisition which has a comparative evaluation of past performance and some kind of trade-off between price and past performance factors, the agency is at liberty to evaluate technical factors on a pass-fail basis and not have to worry about these limitations. That's at least the view of GAO, and I think that's the moral of the story at this point.
So two contractors that have totally different approaches to that section, which is pass-fail, could both pass, but nevertheless the final determination could be on the trade-off between price and past performance.
Exactly. You could have two very, very different technical approaches, and they've sort of been equalized in the pass-fail evaluation, and then you turn to past performance and price and look at that for the decision about who's going to be selected source.
So even in the limitations on LPTA era, there's still lots of ways to skin the cat.
Apparently so.
Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.